Hello, you incredible, amazing entrepreneur. You, Liz Benny here. And oh my gosh, have you ever found it hard to strike a balance between work and play? And maybe you found yourself in your office at the wee hours of the morning going, what am I doing? This isn't what I wanted. I wanted to play more. I wanted to live more. I wanted to travel more. Well, if that is you in any way, shape, or form, and you want to turn your life around and have more balance, authenticity, and fun in your life, you are literally going to love this episode with the one, the only Todd Falcone. Listen up, let's go.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
It is Cavell, Liz Benny back here. My gosh, have we got an incredible, incredible, incredible person lined up for you all today on the Happy Million Show. Hey, and a massive kapow to you, Mr. Todd. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing amazing. What's up, Liz?
Oh, my gosh. I'm kind of jealous. I told you I was a little bit jealous, but jealousy isn't the greatest word. Do you want to tell everyone what you have done today?
I was skiing. Amazing. Absolutely beautiful, clear day. Cold, crystal. Just an amazing day on the mountain skiing. It was great.
Now, I'm going to break a couple of rules right now. I think everyone knows that there are zero questions prepped and ready for these types of podcasts. I do raw, real, and honest. We just had a bit of a chat. Now, I know that right now it's Thursday in New Zealand. It is Wednesday where you are. How dare you be up there enjoying the snow when you should be in front of your computer working? What say you to that? Crap statement.
I say screw it. I mean, look, that I've always lived my life by just playing and having a good time while I'm building my business. And if you're all, what's that phrase? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. No.
I'm excited for you. So you quite literally have been out there playing in the snow today, skiing up a storm when a lot of people would be sitting in their office right now going, oh, I'll be able to do that soon. I'll be able to do that soon. What would you say to the person right now that is sitting there going, look, I've just got it. I've just got it. And I guess you kind of know what I'm alluding to here. What would you say to the person that's sitting there not freeing themselves from the shackles that are in their own brain?
You mean the people that wear the t-shirt that says, I wish I could, but ...
There we go. Carry on. This is good.
No, I mean, it's like, in my opinion, life's too short not to live it and have a blast doing what you love doing. So you can have what they say your cake and eat it too. You can build a huge booming business, but I think you got to reward yourself. I don't think when you're on your deathbed, you're going to be like, man, gosh, I'm so happy that I worked all those hours. Like if I'm on my deathbed, I'm like, I'm so glad I skied so many days and spent time with my family and went fishing and explored and did stuff. I mean, not that I don't work, but I blend work in with play all the time. And that's the way I've always been.
I love that. What does that look like for you? Obviously, you were out in the snow today. When do you work? Because you've got quite the booming organization. You've got a great reputation. You've had some great success over your time. What does work look like for you? Like a work week? What does that look like?
I think it varies. Like honestly, this morning I had no intention of going skiing. I woke up this morning. I had a Zoom at 7 o'clock and had a couple of calls. And I, did a little snow shoveling in the back and then kind of thought, man, it would be a great day to go up on the mountain. So I went up on the mountain and not every day is like that, but like if the snow is good, I'm going to go. I've built my life around and my business around the things that I like to do. So I don't ever have to feel guilty because I went skiing, for example. And there's some weeks where I put in a lot of hours, but I'm typically at the gym early in the morning and back in at the desk at 7:30, 7:45, ready to go. But if I want to split, a few hours later, go get up on the mountain for a couple hours and then come back in the office or be on the mountain all day, I'm able to do it. So I don't know. I just think it's, you can't not work and be successful. But if all you do is work, I think that leads to a lot of unhappiness for a lot of people.
Yeah, dude, I completely agree. There are a lot of people in the circles that I've been in where they've spent a lot of time, like they're quite literally are at the desk and soon, I'll get this soon. And this leads to, in my mind, a lot of depression, a lot of disillusionment, because there's this idea that, I'll be happy when, or I'll be able to get there when, and when never comes. Have you always been like this? Or have you been like, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, were you always programmed this way?
you know, I've always built playtime into my life. I'm one of those guys that there's a lot of activities that I love to participate in. I love to fish. I love to ski. I love to surf when I'm living on the coast, which I'm not right now. I love to travel. And those are all things that I love to play golf. And that, I mean, all those things take time. But even like 20, 25 years ago, maybe I had more of a consistent, I'm like in the office at 7:38, you know, I'm done at whenever I'm finished. And I've never liked working Fridays, for example, like Friday, like it's Friday morning. I'm like, I think I'm going to take Friday off. And I ended up taking Friday, Saturday and Sunday off. So I would say now, because of the way I built my business, I don't have to work as many hours as I may have had to 20 years ago. But I've always been a guy that's built the playtime into my life, not being the one that, like my stepdad, for example, he was like the biggest grinder and so unhappy. And all he did was work, work, work. Like his life was work. And there are a lot of people that can find happiness in that. But then I don't think my stepdad really had a whole lot of happiness, for example. It was just, you know, grinding all the time. And I looked at him, I'm like, and he would guilt trip me for going off and taking off and going surfing or playing golf or whatever. I'm like, just because you don't have things that you love to do, don't give me crap over the fact that I'm out playing and having a good time. Because he never had a hobby and his hobby was work.
I love this. Now, this is amazing. There will be a lot of people right now listening and watching this going, damn, like that was some, you know, like you put your stake in the ground. There will be a lot of people going, I wish I could just be that confident with, you know, with being okay with being myself. Did you have good role models that taught you that it was okay to be you? Or has this been a personal development journey where you've just gone, you know, I just want to like step into me more and more and more? Because to me, I'm listening to and watching a guy that is dead set on being himself, playing life by his rules, and doesn't really give a crap about what other people might judge him as being, because you're being true to you. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I think like when I grew up in a pretty broke household, you know, two working class parents. We didn't live on food stamps or anything, but we didn't have very much extra money. And when my parents got divorced, my mother married my stepdad, who I was just referring to, who, you know, I don't know how much he was making. He was probably making a buck and a quarter US dollars a year, like 125,000 a year, which was way more than my parents were making. And so I had a chance when I was like 14 to see the difference between totally broke and not having anything extra to, oh, we can go do this. And, you know, we're able to travel here or do whatever it is. Like money buys you options. And so when I was about ready to pursue my career path, which I had no idea what my career path was going to be, I knew that I wanted to choose something that was going to make me, you know, good money. And I mean, if you're going to choose a job, you might as well like what you're doing. And then if you can choose a career path that you enjoy and pays you well, then that's a beautiful thing. And I was very fortunate at 22 years of age to be introduced to network marketing, which is the business model that I've been in now for 35 years. And that happens to be a pretty good model where you can leverage yourself on the efforts of other people. So it's kind of, you know, in that kind of business model, it's not hard to find free time because, you know, like sitting here with you, I'm still making money, if, you know, talking to you on this podcast. So if I was in a job, I would be taking time away from the job and I wouldn't be making money there.
Dude, I love this too, because what you're telling me in all this as well is, again, confidence and conviction and truth to yourself. I love this because, you know, a lot of people wouldn't be so confident to say I'm in the MLM model, because they to a lot of people, they're like, oh, can I say that? Should I say that? And you're like, yep, no, this is the business model. You even were so bold as to say, and I'm not saying bold as a judgment, I'm saying bold as in great. You were so bold as to say, with this business model, I'm able to leverage myself off the efforts of others. So leverage seems to me like a key determinant in your financial, in your financial freedom. Would you agree with it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I, and just so you know, when I started in network marketing, I started right out of college. I was 22. I was going through career fair, trying to find a job, graduating out of the marketing department. I knew I was going to do something in marketing. And what I thought was a job interview I was going to was actually a business opportunity pitch for a network marketing business. I didn't know what it was. Had never heard of it. I didn't have any judgment on it. Oh, only the people at the top make the money, or whatever the thought process is, people that don't understand our profession is. And I just went, wait a minute, this is brilliant. We got a product. We can share it with other people. We can build a team. We can earn a percentage on everything that they do. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, what's not to get about this? And so that night, that naivete that I had, that greenness, I went in. I mean, immediately it was like, I'm signing up. I'm in this thing. And I called my mom. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing that. It's a pyramid scheme. I'm going to make you pay back every last dollar of your college education. And, you know, my Sicilian firecracker mother, but I did it anyway. And I didn't have the confidence, just so you know, like what I am today with you is not what I was 35 years ago, 22 years of age. I was scared. I was stuttering when I was prospecting. I was sweaty. My heart was pounding. My mouth was dry. My palms were sweating. I mean, it was terrible, but you know, I wanted to win. And so what I did, and I think it's the same thing in any occupation. If you want to get good at something, you have to work at getting good at it. You don't just get good by thinking, oh, I wish I was good at this. I've practiced, I've worked on my craft. I've, you know, followed some of the most successful people. I've attended every possible event that I could attend. I'm paying very close attention to the biggest producers. What are they doing? What are they saying? How are they building it? And started to model the behavior of successful people. And over time, you go through a shift. Like how you get good at one thing is how you get good at anything. I mean, whether it's network marketing, skiing, fishing, tennis, it doesn't matter. It takes a commitment to getting good at it. And so where I am today is, I wish I had a recording of me in like 1989 because I was pathetic. I was terrible.
Dude, I don't think I've ever said this publicly on this type of show. My beginnings in business, well, I mean, I helped my father out in business. I was a marketing manager for him way back when I was like 13 years old. I had the title of marketing manager, which was really weird at that age to be marketing manager of a six-figure company at that point in time, and that age and with so little experience. But in terms of my very first step out of the job for me was actually into a multi-level marketing, network marketing, high ticket sales company as well. And I honestly think that company and the skills that I learned through network marketing or through that type of business model, it allowed me to learn sales. It allowed me to learn, you know, some key skills that have allowed me, and I'm not in network marketing now, have allowed me though to make millions and millions of dollars in different industries because it's the development of those skills. Just, I mean, you just happened to continue down your pathway and I chose a different pathway to take those skills. So I love that. I absolutely love that because we're talking about the opposite of the get rich quick thing. Now, you're in an amazing relationship. You get to hang out with your amazing wife. You've got two incredible kids. How do you balance life, marriage, kids, business, finances, faith, friends? How do you do life so that you end up at the end of each year and you're like, dang, I killed it that year. That was awesome.
Yeah, I think like my wife and I have been together for a long time, 25 years, married in March. So we've been together for about 29. When we were dating, I was helping my family's radio station out as an account executive selling advertising, and I was doing network marketing on the side. And She came in one day and she was crying like, I don't know, you're going to go to jail. This is a pyramid scheme. You're doing something illegal. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I had a sit down with her. I was like, look, you get me in network marketing or you don't get me because this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I showed her a check that was like sitting in my, you know, in my desk for 2 weeks. That was like $3,000. It wasn't like a huge check, but she's like, wait, that's more than I make full time in my job. Can I quit my job? I'm like, not yet. But yeah, in the future, if you just let me do what I'm going to do here. And so we've always had this, like once she realized that this was a real profession, like she's basically like been my biggest supporter all along. So I built in the field for 16 years. And then the last 16 years up until very recently, you know, I've been a seminar speaker and trainer. So I segued into while I was servicing the network marketing profession. You know, I monetize my expertise through the production of CD programs and video training programs and coaching programs, things like what you're doing, for example. And I did that by taking something I was good at and then monetizing it. And we just, you know, plus the other thing is I've always worked at home. I have a home office. I've never gone out and leased office space. So I'm in the biggest room upstairs in our house, which is this big bonus room. It's always away from the rest of the family. So it's not like it's right next to another bedroom. So when we buy a home, the first thing we look at is where's Todd's office going? Because I run, you know, our company from the home and it's easy for me to balance, you know, family and kids because I can, as soon as I'm done here with you, I'm going to run downstairs and see my wife and kids who are downstairs. So I don't think it's been like somebody who leaves and leaves their house and they're gone for 17 hours a day and then they come home, that's a much bigger drain than me. Like if I want to run downstairs, I mean, sometimes during the day or my 17-year-old coming in, he's like, Dad, do you want to watch a movie? I'm like, you know, yeah, I'll watch a movie with you. What are we watching? I mean, let's go run downstairs and watch a movie with my kid for a couple hours and come back up to the office. So I don't feel like I've had a hard time balancing it. And I would say to some extent, my wife and I kind of have like the 1950s relationship a little bit. Like I run the business and the finances of the house and she runs the house and the kids pretty much. And she supports me in my business and does some stuff, but we divide and conquer and that works really well for us. So that's the way it's been for a long time. She had a career when our first kid was born. So 17 years ago, she stopped that career. She started a business, sold that business. And for the most part, she's been just at home with the kids. And I mean, that's two full-time jobs there already. So she probably works harder than I do.
I adore that you, firstly, thank you for acknowledging how hard it is, you know, as a mom and like what it can be to give and to grow these beautiful, incredible people. And I love that you have got such an amazing relationship from a communication and a boundaries and a connection standpoint with your wife, where you're like, you do that, I'll do this, we do this, and we're good. Because I think that, you know, working at home sometimes, my wife and I both work at home, and, you know, there can be a blur and there can be, you actually, I mean, we've just learned over time that connection comes through communication and this, like, where are we going and the role clarification. So the roles that you both play are absolutely freaking incredible. That is amazing. And it also helps with the happiness of your marriage. Massive congrats, by the way, on your upcoming anniversary. Dude, so there are people listening and watching this right now, and they hear your confidence. They hear your conviction. They feel my energy. They hear and watch how I'm talking right now. And it could be easy for them to go, oh, look, it's all very well and good for them because they're up and they're happy and they've got their energy and they've got their perfect marriage and they've got perfect da-da-da-da. No. Okay. Let's talk directly to the person. Can you give a little bit of behind the scenes at perhaps some times that haven't been quite so good and be raw, real, and honest about those? And then how did you get through those times?
Yeah, I think, well, when I first started my network marketing career, I quit my job 90 days into my first business. I thought I'd be making 10 grand a month, like in no time. Nobody told me that, but that's a seed I planted in my head. And so the job that was paying my bills and then some, that went away and I was literally like eating top ramen noodles to survive, you know, 18 cents a package back then or whatever it was. And that was a very dark time for me. And I was, you know, I wasn't very good at recruiting. I wasn't building a business. I was falling behind. I was falling behind with credit card debt. There would be days where I would come home and I would literally crawl up in a ball and be, you know, crying like, God, what's wrong with me? Why isn't this happening for me? But the thing I think when I look back, I made a decision early on, and I think the key word is a decision. I made a decision that I was going to do it until. And so because I made that decision, no matter what frustration or roadblock or obstacle, it didn't matter because I was going to do it until. And unfortunately, a lot of people will like try a business, give it a shot for a little bit, and they go in with that attitude. And if they're going in with that attitude, they're probably not going to win. You know, I had a company I'd spent 11 years with. This is 16 years ago. I'd spent 11 years with them. Things were going great. They went out of business and all of a sudden there was no check. And, you know, oh, here I am starting from scratch, like from zero. I have no income. Fortunately, unlike most network marketers, I banked a ton of money. I saved a bunch of cash. And so it wasn't like, holy smokes, I have no money in the bank, no investments, no savings. And I was able to go through that little, I would say, miniature dark period, not freaking out and stressed out and like wondering how I'm going to pay the bills, because I was smart with my money. And I think a lot of people, regardless of what business that they're in, I think you need to learn to pay yourself first. Like one of the greatest books that I read a long time ago is called The Richest Man in Babylon. Very simple, easy read. And it just conceptually teaches people pay yourself first. Most people go spend all their money and then they end up with nothing left over. I don't care how little money you're making. You need to start socking money away for a rainy day, because guess what? It always rains. And I was taught that a long time ago. I met an old guy at my family's radio station. His name was Jack Parr. He was old, decrepit, drove a crappy car, worked the midnight to six shift. And he came out one day and he was like limping out to his car. He was like, kid, don't be like me. And I don't know how old he was. He was probably 80 something. He goes, you don't want to be like me, kid. I, you know, I have no money. I got to work at this radio station. And I mean, I just, it scared me because here's this old dude who's broke, who lives in an apartment, driving a 1970s boat, piece of crap car. And I was like, I don't want to be like that guy. So I don't care. Like, what, whoever's listening, save, you know, sock your money away. Take at least 10% of whatever you earn and put it away, not to go spend stuff or go buy stuff, but to, you know, to have at some point in the future. And it's hard for younger people to do that. They're like 20s. They're like, oh, I got no problem. If you start investing money when you're 20, 22, 23, or however old you are, by the time you're 40, you could be done.
Yeah.
Done.
Compounding, baby, compounding. Wow. The roots of the teachings within network marketing, I think, are brilliant for so many people. So compounding interest, pay yourself first, the confidence, the conviction, everything that you're talking about right now is so, they're such incredible skills for us all to grow. And also being frugal. Like, I think that there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that feel like they need to go out there and look the part. Whereas, I mean, I'm looking at a guy and look, with all love and due respect, like, you're not outwardly projecting yourself right now as a multimillionaire that's got his Lambo there. And you're not looking massively, 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 you know, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a million figure earner. But yet I can tell by virtue of how, you know, we're talking and certainly how many lives you've changed and what you're doing that you're doing pretty dang well. What would you say to the person then that has the idea that they have to show it all off?
That's so funny you ask that question because, you know, it's like you have to prove it to others that, you know, you're making money. And I think I went through that phase early. I mean, I drive a good car. I had a really flashy car at one point so I could show, like, but it's like, what am I freaking trying to prove? Like, and fortunately, I could afford the car. So it was like, I have friends of mine that have built businesses. They're driving a $200,000 car pulling up to a one bedroom apartment. They don't even own a house. You know, they're the cost of their monthly rent on their car is more expensive than their apartment just so that they look the part. The only person you need to prove it to is yourself. You don't have to go prove it to somebody else. And quite frankly, money in the bank is much sexier than money. Like, I think I'm wearing a Billabong, you know, shirt that I bought at some store down the street. I don't need to wear the flashy stuff. Or
I was quite literally going to mention your top. I was like, you know, the top you're wearing doesn't look like it's Gucci. I mean, it could be, but it certainly doesn't look it.
I'm pretty sure it's Billabong. I don't even know. And like the watch I'm wearing, this is a Garmin. Yeah, I've got, you know, some really nice watches, but they sit in the safe most of the time. Yep. So I don't know. I just think especially in network marketing, people do that more than probably other places where they feel like they have to show the money so that the people will believe them that they're actually achieving success. Mm. And I'm like the millionaire next door, dude. Like, you know, like I live in a great neighborhood, but I could have a much bigger house and, you know, more cars or whatever, but I've got everything that I want. And the other thing is, like, when you're dead, you can't take it with you. It's like the only thing you can take with you is your life experiences. That's more valuable to me than, you know, a $200,000 sports car sitting in my driveway.
Oh, well, that was a massive mic drop. Thank you for that. Because, you know, the industry that I've come up in, there's been a lot of, I guess, the whole the new money thing. It's like, oh my gosh, and they'll go out, they'll make their million with not exactly that much profit margin, but whatever the profit margin is left over, they'll go out and they'll spend it. And in actual fact, they end up broke. And they're not just broke in terms of financially, they're broke because they've got a broken spirit, because they've gone around it or gone about it. I don't mean this from a judgment standpoint, but in a way that wasn't conducive to what they actually wanted out the other end. So speaking to that point, why do you think most people get into business in the first place?
I don't know, probably because they want a better life. They want to control their life. They want to do their own thing and not be told what to do.
Yeah.
I know when I got started in network marketing specifically, why it appealed to me was no boss and unlimited earnings potential. I never liked having somebody tell me what to do. I think people get into businesses for different reasons. My guess is most people get into their own business because they want to, you know, they don't want to work for somebody else. Unfortunately, depending on the kind of business that they get in, they end up being married to their business. I mean, that's a totally different conversation to get into, but Depends on what kind of business you get into. I mean, if you go buy a franchise, you know, I've threatened my wife, hey, I'm going to open up a restaurant in town because I love to cook, but then I know I'm never going to do it because all I would do would be at the restaurant working. All of my freedom would go away and I'd probably make a whole lot less than I'm currently making. But I think people do it because they want to own their own life.
I love that. And if a person listening and watching this right now is on the brink of divorce as a byproduct of their business, or is feeling disillusionment or disharmony, or is at that point of potentially some disease because of the stress of their business, what would your advice be to them right now to, you know, within the next 6 months for their reality to be markedly different from what it is right now?
I don't think a business is worth sacrificing a marriage over. I mean, you know, when people take their vows until death do us part, that whole thing, I'm not going to go through. We all know what the vows are, right? I think most people treat marriage like it's a 10-year renewable lease. And, you know, even though it's really meant to be a lifetime commitment, now I understand if somebody's in an abusive, physically or mentally, or emotionally abusive relationship, why they might have to get out of that. But typically, I think the reason relationships falter is because of a lack of communication. My needs, your needs, right? And so if somebody's all, you know, working and they're, in this case, their marriage is suffering, it's suffering because you're not paying enough attention to the thing that you need to be paying attention to, and that's going to suffer. So, I'm sure a lot of relationships do suffer because people get into, you know, they're working 17 hours a day. They come home, they don't have the energy to come home and make love or have sex or do it or however you tend to phrase it. And they're just not, they're no longer connected. And that's really unfortunate. And it's even more unfortunate if there's kids in the picture.
Yeah.
So, cause they're the ones that are really suffering. And I think if your business is taking that much time away from your wife and kids or your family unit, I think you need to reprioritize what your priorities are and focus on what matters most.
I love it. I love it. So what are some magic moments? Like let's have you've been in business for a good period of time. What are some moments that you have gone, like maybe 3 or 4 moments where you've gone, I am so grateful I'm in this business because it has enabled me to.
Well, I mean, for me, a lot of times it's the feedback that I get from clients. You know, again, for the last 16 years, my primary focus was teaching and training. So somebody who gets a hold of one of my training programs and actually implements it, which is amazing, right? So many times people buy stuff and they never do anything with the thing that they purchase. Mm-hmm. And like, I have a friend of mine that I'm thinking about right now, lives on the East Coast of the US. He's built his entire business to over 7 figures a year using one strategy that I teach. And to hear, to know that he went from driving a furniture truck, delivery truck, to, you know, achieving financial freedom and network marketing because he purchased a training course from me and it made all the difference in the world. That's huge. I mean, those are the things that feed me. I'm not big personally on accolades or I don't feel like I need to get, you know, like some big, like a lot of people love to get recognized. I've been recognized so much. I'm kind of over it. Like, you know, you're introduced on stage and you're speaking in front of thousands of people. And it's like, you know, I mean, it's a great experience. I'd say one of my favorite experiences was speaking from like, I think it was like 11 o'clock at night to 1 o'clock in the morning in Cairo, Egypt for like 12,000 screaming people in this auditorium. And it was just awesome. I mean, these guys flew me over there, took total care of me, you know, first class all the way. It was just a beautiful experience. And then to see 12,000 raving, screaming entrepreneurs so excited to hear from me in the middle of the night, that was awesome. So those are like little things, but you know, I don't know. It's hard for me, to answer questions like that. When somebody says like, you know, what's your most proud moment or something? I'm like, probably the most proud moment is, you know, when my kids were born. Right. So that's an amazing experience.
Yeah, dude. See, like that's it. Like you as their dad, you're able to be present there. You're able to provide, you're able to do some amazing things and be an incredible role model for these kids growing up in a very different world to the world that we grew up in. Speaking of that, how are you helping them in this new world, in the world of social media, with their esteem, with the way that they're having to deal with the new world?
I've never been a dad that like makes my kids like, you know, finish your plate or, you know, you need to do this or that you have to sign up for this sport or whatever. Like, I let my kids follow whatever their passion is. Like my 15-year-old loves to be on a skateboard, and he is like on that thing all the time, and he's gotten really good at it. Like his number one thing is skateboarding. Like he's like even not gone skiing with us on great skiing days to go skateboarding. My older kid is like really into music. So he's played the drums. He wanted to play the bass. This was like just in December 15th. I bought him a bass a couple of weeks before Christmas. And he's had his hands on that thing, you know, 2-3 hours a day, every day. And to go hear him from not touching a bass to where he is now in what, you know, 2.5 months is insane. So I just love to encourage my kids to follow their passion and to do what makes them happy. As long as it's not, you know, they're not getting into drugs and doing stupid stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty cool to watch them, you know, and it's been challenging with, you know, the whole kind of world we've been living in, especially the last couple of years. But, you know, we've managed our way through it pretty good.
Dude, this is amazing. I have thoroughly enjoyed having this incredible conversation with you today. I want to have a little bit of fun with you and ask you some stupid questions. Would that be okay with you?
Fire away. Absolutely.
Nice. Okay. So what is the last thing that you bought and why?
What is the last thing that I bought and why? What did I buy recently? I'm looking around. Well, I'll say the last big thing I bought was a boat. And I bought a boat because my friend, who it's always good to have a friend that has a boat. I had a boat before. I haven't had a boat for a few years. And then last summer we fished all the time. And then he moved and my 15-year-old got into bass fishing with me. He's like, Dad, we can't fish from the shore. I'm like, I know, buddy, I'll get a boat. So I bought a really cool fishing jet boat. And I would say that's probably one of my most recent, I'd say bigger purchases.
So anyone listening and watching this right now, look, money really does provide you some incredible options in life, right?
Oh, yeah. Look, this is amazing. Sure.
What are your top 3 favorite movies?
I need to grab my wife right now. She'd be like, okay, let's see. How many times have I seen Shawshank Redemption? Probably way too many times. I've seen Gladiator. I can't think of, I mean, too many times. And for some reason, the movie The Fugitive, like every time it comes on, I feel like I have to watch it again. But I don't know if those are my 3 absolute favorites, but those are 3 I've watched so many times. I will also say 2 of my favorite comedies are Old School with Will Ferrell, and my favorite Christmas movie, which I can watch in July, is Elf. It's just hilarious. I love it.
Oh my gosh. I love you. This is incredible. Who has most positively impacted your life?
I've had a lot of really good mentors, but I think honestly, my wife. You know, she's just the coolest chick on the planet. So she's supported me and is just the cool, like, I mean, think about it. I've flown for 16 years, flew around the planet, 30 weekends a year. I'm gone. I'm seeing the whole world. And she comes home and gives me a big hug and is happy to see me rather than, you know, here's your honey-do list, right? Like she's awesome.
Dude. Well, by the sounds of things, you have worked out, one of the greatest secrets to a happy marriage, which is communication. And by the sounds of things, you guys have landed that one really, really, really well. What was your favorite subject in high school?
Law.
Law? Really?
Yeah, I was actually going to be an attorney. I took a law class when I was a senior in high school. I was really into criminal justice. I started as a political science major. I was going to become an attorney, and then I interviewed 10 attorneys. And they were all stressed out, alcoholic, unhappy guys. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I ended up changing my major to psychology, probably because I was following the Grateful Dead around and enjoying the fruits of the Grateful Dead shows. And then I ended up turning into marketing. And here I am still in marketing today. So,
oh, my gosh. I think marketing is one of the greatest skills that we can learn. I really, really, really do. Marketing and sales. I mean, that. You can set yourself up for it forever with that. So what are the 3 greatest gifts that you share with the world?
Authenticity. I think just being real and straightforward. I think just a genuine passion for helping and really wanting people to succeed. And a reliability. If I say that, I'm going to be there. I mean, that's one thing that a lot of people don't have. They make promises and then they, you know, don't make those promises. Kind of like today, what happens if we book this thing and then you're like, hey, where's my podcast guest? Why is my podcast guest late, right? I think like your word should be gold.
Mic drop on that one. Everyone listening and watching, by the way, integrity is my second highest value. So I love you very much more right now. So health is my first, integrity is my second. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to bloody well do it, or I'm going to find a way to make it happen if something else came up. Okay, along those lines, this is a bit of a silly one. If you could have any actor play you in a movie, who would it be?
You know, that's a tough one. Any actor play me in a movie? I don't know. He's not really an actor, but I would say Joe Rogan. He's gotten some heat lately, which I love it. You know, can handle it.
He's handled it really, really well. And yeah. What is the best place you have ever traveled in the world?
Oh, that is a tough... I mean, I've traveled so many places. I would say probably the most magical place that I ever went to was a private island off the coast of Sumatra in the Mentawai Islands on a surf trip. We rented an island for 10 days. It was our island, nobody else on it except for the hosts and the people that were taking care of us. And it was just, I mean, it was literally paradise.
I love that. Okay, one final question along these lines. If you've got $1 million that's in your hands right now, you have to give it away. Who do you give it away to and why?
Honestly, I'd probably give it away to Operation Underground Railroad.
Yes, thank you so much. I love you even more.
Yeah, so there's, you know, what he's doing to stop just the bad people that,
Please, for those people that don't know what OUR is, please go ahead, because I lovingly support them as much as I can too.
Yeah, well, you know, Tim Ballard, who is the owner of that organization, the whole focus is rescuing kids that have been, you know, put into trafficking and all over the world, and, you know, arresting these insanely evil, bad human beings that are, you know, taking just the angelic quality from children and ruining their lives. So they're doing a spectacular job. And if I had $1 million cash right now, I'd give it straight to them because they're doing a great job with it.
Dude, thank you so much. And as part of, I'm guessing that you have done a lot of charity work in your time, especially in you know, being up on stage and in your arena. What are some other organizations that you've given to?
I've given money to Operation Underground Railroad, any organization that is helping kids. Like, there, I just have a soft spot for children. So, there's been a number of organizations that we've given money to, either through our church or through, you know, direct donations. But, you know, there's a lot of problems on the planet. I mean, cancer is a big one. Obviously you can throw millions and millions of dollars on, you know, on cancer research, and hopefully one day they'll find a cure for that. But like, for me, it's all about children. If we can help our kids, the ones that don't have money or don't have education or are living in abusive households or, you know, taken and stolen and put into child trafficking, you know, we got to do things for our kids.
I completely agree. So what would be one final thing that you'd love to say to the person listening or watching this right now? And keeping in mind that this is all about Happy Millionaire's Revolution, this is about helping people build both businesses and lives that they absolutely love, not at the cost of the things that matter most to them. Are there any final words that you would love to say?
I would just say, look, I mean, find something that you have a passion for and follow that passion. I guess I have a passion for helping people. I didn't realize that. And network marketing for me became that thing where I could help others either directly or indirectly. So, you don't have to just go get a job and go through the routine and get something that's paying you a salary or an hourly wage. Think about something, you know, go into your journal and write down the, you know, 5 or 10 things that you love to do and go, hey, can I monetize this? Mm. You know, I mean, if I were to go back in time, I love to ski, I love to fish, and I could have easily, I didn't choose that path, but I could have easily figured out a way to monetize my skiing expertise, my fishing expertise. I could still become a fishing guide if I wanted to right now. If I was going to do that the right way, I would create a guide service with my name on it. I would be a guide, and then I would hire multiple other guides because I understand leverage is so much more powerful than, you know, exchanging time for money. So I think it's, you know, figure out what you love to do, follow your passion, and, you know, figure out a way to make money with it.
Dude, you are absolutely freaking amazing. Thank you so, 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 so much for your love, your time, your energy, the fun, the truth, the honesty. You are certainly what I like to call raw, real, and honest. Where do people find out about the incredible Todd?
They can just find me on my website, toddfalcone.com. Pretty simple.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have loved the show. I'll see you on the next one.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. Full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other Fs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.